Welcome. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Today's shiur in Maseches Bava Basra will be beginning at the lower part of Daf Kuf Mem Zayin Omid Beis. In our previous discussion, the Gemara mentioned that a Shchiv Meira, in order to make an effective Matona, this is the person that's deathly ill, that wishes to transfer his property to others before his death, he must do it in such a way that he is assigning or giving over something of substance, as opposed to providing for an action. For example, if he says, I want so-and-so to live in this house, that's not considered a matnas shchiv merah. However, if he says, I want to give this house to so-and-so to live in, that is considered a matnas shchiv merah. It seems from this approach that the legal standards that apply to a shchiv merah are the same as those that apply to a bori, to a healthy person. In other words, if a healthy person were trying to give over something, give pass property on to someone else, and it would be ineffective for whatever legal reason for the bori, the same thing would apply to the shchiv merah. This brings the Gemara to ask a question. The question is a long question. The point from which we'll be starting the Gemara, 4 lines from the bottom of the last word on the line, Lameimro, you'll notice in the space between the Gemara and the Rashbam, namely to the left-hand side of the Gemara text, in that little space, there's a kuf that's encircled with a vertical dashed line indicating a long question marking. The kuf is kushya, a long question. It lasts till the top of kuf mem ches omed aleph. The Gemara asks, L'meimra d'sover Rav Nachman, should we conclude from what Rav Nachman had mentioned just before, that the following, and you'll notice we've used a singular quotation mark to include 2 lines of what we call a phrase marking, to read these 2 lines together. Are we to suggest that Rav Nachman holds, Milso di'iso bebori, iso b'shchiv meira, d'leso bebori, leso b'shchiv meira? Those laws that apply to a healthy person, iso b'shchiv merah, are also existent with regard to a person deathly ill trying to give a gift. The leso b'bori, that which is not binding in the case of the healthy man, is also not binding in the case of the shchiv merah. Ho omar rava, omar Rav Nachman. But this same opinion, and you'll notice how we've underlined the name, as was done in the previous shiur, where we also underline his name, where he presented that supposed standard, but we see him here saying something else. Shchiv Merah, we're at the top of Kuf Mem Ches Amad Aleph. Rav Nachman says that a Shchiv Merah, Sheomar Tnu Halvaosi Liploni, a person deathly ill that was owed money, and he tells the borrower, give the money you owe me to someone, to so-and-so. In other words, instead of paying me, pay Plony, pay so-and-so. Halva also le Plony. The loan, the repayment, is in effect transferred to that so-and-so, that other party. V'yaf agav de lesse babari. Even though a transfer of money, like we just described, could not take place with regard to a healthy person. The Rashbam points out on the second, third line from the top, the end of the line there, he says, V'afagav de bebori lese, that even though such a transfer in the case of a healthy person speaking would not be, de'eno yochol lahaknas l'chaveiro milval peh, a person can't transfer the money owed, that's owed orally, as opposed to a loan recorded in a document. But we're talking about money owed through an oral agreement. Dilahotson, no, the money is designed to be spent. That means when someone borrows money, he's not expected to have the money from the point that he immediately receives it. It's considered spent. It's considered not here. The ein kinyan toifes el b'dover shu be'ein. Kinyonim, transactions do not take effect on things that are not extant, things that are not tangible. Elohim kein milfa b'shtar, unless we were dealing with a loan recorded in a document. Either through the transfer of the shtar or through the three parties standing together. With that having been said, though, we see that Rava Amrav Nachman acknowledges a type of transfer that a shchiv mera can accomplish and a bori, a healthy person, would not be able to accomplish. The Gemara goes on with two answers. Rav Papa Omar, Hoyul v'yoyresh yorsha. Since an heir gets the debt, namely, if money was owed to his father, even orally, and the lender, the father, dies, the debt is transferred to the heir, in other words, the son or any other heir of the lender is able to collect it without any specific kinyan being done, simply through the institution of inheritance. So as a result of that, the shchiv mera is able to pass on, so to speak, the collection rights to someone else. According to the Rashbam, he cites a Gemara later on and says that matnas shchiv mera ki yerusha shavua rabbonan, that the rabbonan view the transactions conducted by the deathly ill individual like the rules of inheritance. And since in the rules of inheritance no extra kinyan is necessary, so too the shchiv mera is able to transfer the debt through no additional kinyan. However, as far as the general rule is concerned, if we were dealing with other types of transfers, it could very well be maintained that the rules of a shchiv mera are similar to the rules of the bori. And all we're saying here is that with regard to things that are inherited, those kind of things, a shchiv mera is able to transfer even without a kinyan. Rav Acha Brei de Rav Ika Omar Halvo Isa Bebori. The approach that Rav Acha takes, and it's pointed out in the Rashbam, is that he holds, like the rule we said before, that things that apply to a bori apply to a shchiv mera. And he's coming to tell us that in fact, transfer of loans without a kinyan is something that exists in the case of a bori as well. As Rav Huna teaches, Uch Rav Huna Marav, the Omar Rav Huna, Omar Rav, Mono Li Biyotcha, if a person who loaned money, a lender, says to a borrower, you know, you owe me money. Teneu leploni, I want you, instead of giving the money to me, give it to so-and-so, b'maymud shloshtan, and the three parties are present together. And once again, we're talking about a healthy person. A lender who's healthy is reassigning payment of this money to someone else. Kona, it works. So we see that even a healthy person can transfer payment without a kinyan, and therefore a shchiv mera can do the same. At this point, we begin a new discussion, and that is indicated by the slash mark that you see in the Gemara. We notice the presence of a geometric form in the marking system, as you've already learned in the introductory material. Geometric forms represent a series of something that will repeat itself, and we try to offer explanations in the outside margin when encountering a new geometric form and when encountering a new topic. In this case, in our outside margin, we have a Nosei Mivneh heading. Let us glance at what we've included there. Under the Nosei Mivneh heading, you see a diamond featured. Shnei Lishonois Be'ibaya Laho. There will be two versions of the question that's being raised in the Gemara. One we see here, and you notice by glancing in the space between the Gemara and the Rashbam, to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, you notice a Roman numeral number 1. To the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, you notice a Roman numeral number 1. Underneath that, there is indicated a Roman number 2, Amud Beis. That means that the next version of the question will be presented on Amud Beis. And if you have your personal volume of the Shas Ozer Bava Basra, you can simply flip over the page and notice at the top, Roman number 2. If you're viewing this on the screen, so then you can access it by scrolling ahead to see the next Omid. The issue that these questions will be dealing with, we further explain in our note on the outside margin. Be'inyan, these are two questions. Be'inyan hashpa'asa, concerning the topic of hashpasa, the influence, shel yitur loshon. Extra expressions that are used, number one, b'matnas shchivmera, in the case of a deathly ill individual transferring ownership of something. And the example that will be dealt with in the context of the shchivmera will be the case of shenoisein dekel lechavera, where someone is giving a tree to somebody. When we get into the Gemara, we'll deal with the issue of the tree in much greater detail. Number two, the second version of the question, when it's raised, doesn't have anything to do directly with a Shchiv Meira. It's a different version. The Gemara will be asking about a gift, a Bematnas Bori, a gift given by a healthy individual. And the example there will also be a different example. Shenoisein Bayis L'Chavero, someone is transferring ownership of a house to someone else. The Omer Lo, and he says, Almanas Shidyuto Elyono Shali. He uses an extra expression that I'm giving you the house on condition that the fenced in roof, the Dyuta, the fenced in roof, the roof that's on top of this house that has a fence of 10 Tvachim around it, that remains mine. We say that it's an extra expression because, in general, when one sells a house to someone, in fact, the roof is not included. So it was understood anyway that the Dyuta, the roof, would remain in the possession of the giver of that gift. Why was it necessary for him to add the expression, or what was accomplished by his adding the extra expression that, as we said, was self-understood? When we learn this Gemara, we're going to notice that a significant section of the text appears in a brackets, and the length of that brackets, we will also note, is indicated by a vertical dash dotted line. This is a rather unusual section as far as our shiurim are concerned, in that we will be referring to the girsa, to the text that is found in the Bach's version of this Gemara. When one learns this Gemara with the Rashbam, he will also notice that there are different girsos that the Rashbam was aware of, and he chooses or approves mostly of the last particular girsa, the one that we will be looking at when we get into the Gemara text. Hence, in our note, we've indicated that according to the Gears of the Rashbam that's found in the Bach, Matnas Shchiv Mera Sheyesh Bo Shiur, a gift given by a deathly ill individual that has in it a shiur, where the shimar is withholding something. What is said about matna shimera, whereby the shimar withholds something? We say, and we've indicated this in our note, umemela yahul afilu im hivri. Such a gift will be binding even if the shimera gets better. This is as opposed to a standard matna shimera, where he gives out all of his holding. The rule is that when he gets better, or if he gets better, the matana, the gift, is reversed. It's botel, it's void, and the now healthy individual who had been a shrimira withholds his property. So a matnas shrimira sheyesh bo shiur karka, that will be part of our discussion, a matnas shrimira where he is withholding karka, some of the land. And as we said before, a matna shchiv mera sheyesh bo shiur karka, as was already discussed in the Mishnayos beforehand, this was on Daf Kuf Mem Vav Amid Beis. The Mishnah said shchiv mera shekosav kol nechosav leacher v'shiur karka kolshu, and the shmera withheld a little piece, a minor piece of land. The matonosu kayemis means that the gift will be binding even in the case that he gets better. Our note continues, Dekel le'echod uperos li'acher. The first example that will be cited when we learn the Gemara will deal with someone giving a tree to one person, and the fruits that will be produced by the tree to somebody else. Im timtzilomar delo shir mokom tzimuach haperos she'al ho'anaf, if you say that in such a transfer, namely, dekel le'echod uperos li'acher, is considered a complete transfer, namely, nothing is withheld. There is no shiur mokom, there is no withholding of the spot on the branch from which the fruits emerge. In other words, as we said, everything is being given away. The tree in its entirety is given to Mr. 1, and the fruits produced therefrom are given to Mr. 2. We continue with our note. Maha din im omar beferush. What would be the din if a person says explicitly, in a different case, I am giving you a tree, chutz mi peroisov. I am giving you the tree. The Shchiv Mera says, I'm giving you the tree. Well, by saying, I'm giving you a tree, even without saying explicitly, chutz mi peroisov, it's understood that only the tree is being transferred, namely that the Shchiv Mera will continue benefiting from the fruits. If, however, someone says, I'm giving you the tree, and he adds the seemingly extra expression, chutz mi peroisov, as we indicate in our note here, Dehave Loshon Yesera, this represents an extra expression. Why? The Nitan, why do we consider it what is to be derived from this extra expression? The Nitan Lahavin Mimenu, there is room to derive, to understand from this, Shemeshayer Benoisef Leperos, that this person is withholding, in addition to the actual peros, gam mokoim tzimuach haperos, he is withholding for himself, namely this shchimera is withholding for himself the spot on the branch of the tree that produces the fruits. And if that be the case, v'yehi shiur karka kol shehu, this would represent the withholding of a minor piece of land, namely the tree is considered landed property as opposed to portables. As a result of this matana, as a result of his withholding the spot on the branch,
that produces the fruits, in addition to the fruits, this would be considered a matnas shchiv meirah sheyesh bo shiur karka. And as a result of that, if he gets better, the gift is off. In other words, let us correct ourselves, and if he gets better, the gift will be binding all the same. Our note continues, Uchidemotsinu b'mocher bayis. A similar situation has been found, has been learned, has been exposed to us by this masechet. In the case of b'mocher bayis, someone who is selling a house, in the sale of a house, shelo kolu b'mechiroso hadyut elyona, the roof, the fenced-in roof in the sale of a house is not included in the sale. Im hamocher pirei, if the seller, however, expresses explicitly chutz midyuta, he says, I'm selling you the house with the exception of the roof. Harei ze mashir la'atzmo. This shows us that he, the seller, is withholding for himself, benoisaf l'diyuta, in addition to the rooftop itself, gam zchus shimush ba'avir chotzer halokeach. He's also keeping for himself airspace rights over the courtyard that was just acquired by the purchaser. And what does that entail? Dahainu efsharut lehotzi zizin mihadyuto al avir chotzer halokeach. This means that he has rights, airspace rights, to extend from his roof poles, projections, over the airspace of the chotzer, of the courtyard of the purchaser. So, to summarize the topic at hand, what is the effect of using an extra expression in the case of a matnas shchiv merah, according to Loshen number 1, and on Omid Beis, the same issue will come up, namely, use of extra, of extraneous words, of extra words in the transfer when dealing with the matnas bori, a healthy person giving something. Our hope is that this rather lengthy introduction will serve to ease the understanding of the Gemara text itself. And once again, bear in mind, as we learn the Gemara text, we're going to be involved with a little bit of eye movement, because the section of the Gemara that we're about to see that's in brackets, we will learn it through the Girsa, through the version found in the Rashbam, in the Bach, who is coming off of the Rashbam. So let us begin the sugya. Ibaya laho. Dekel li echod upeiroisov li acher mahu. A person who is giving a tree, a shchiv merah, who is giving a tree to one party and the fruits to someone else. Mahu. What is the din? When we speak about what is the din, we're talking about how to view this with regard to the general halacha of a matnas shchiv merah sheyesh bo shiur karka kolshehu. We now turn to the Bach. That means we're looking at the inside margin, pretty much across from here. You'll notice a squiggle underlined Rashbam Gores. We'll read the section that we've provided within a marking, as you can see, to the right-hand side of the Bach, a little bit of a curved line and a parallel curved line indicating the end of the section that we'll read. This will replace the section that's in the Gemara text found in the brackets that we've provided. So, continuing in the Bach now, as we said, on the inside margin, V'rashbam gores, dekel le'echod u'peirosov le'echod mahu, as we already explained, the shemera is giving the tree to one party, and the fruit to someone else. What is the din? Im timtzelomar li achir lo haveshiur, if you say that in such a transfer where everything is being given away, namely tree and fruits are given away, there is no shiur, there's no withholding. As a result of that, what is the halacha? That if the shchimera gets better, the gift is off. The gift is voided. He, the shchimera, gets it all back. What about this? Chutz mipeirosov mahu. Let us say a shchimera says to somebody, I am giving you a tree with the exception of its fruits. Namely, I am withholding the fruit production of this tree. What is the din with regard to shiur? Is the shchiv meira keeping for himself not only the fruits that will be produced, but he's keeping for himself possibly the spot on the branch from which the fruits emerge? And if that be the case, he in effect is withholding for himself landed property. And as a result of that, if he gets better, the deal stands. The gift remains a gift. Omar Rav Amar Rav Nachman, Im Timtzel Lomar Dekel Le'echor U'Peirosov Li'acher Lo Shir Mokom Peri. Rav Amar Rav Nachman is answering the question. He says, if you say that in the case where there's a full giveaway, namely tree to one party and the fruit to someone else, there is no withholding on the part of the Shchiv Meirah, the spot, Mokom Peri, the spot on the branch that produces the fruits. Chutz Mi'Peirosov, if however the Shchiv Meirah used the expression in a different case, I'm giving you the tree, I'm withholding the fruits, and he says explicitly, I'm withholding the fruits, which he didn't have to say. It was self-understood that he was withholding the fruits. The result is, shir mokom peri, he is withholding the spot on the branch that produces the fruits. The aliba de Rav Zvid, and following the ruling or the interpretation that Rav Zvid says in a different case, the Omar, that said in the case of a house where a person sold a house and said, I am selling you the house and I'm keeping for myself the diuta, the result of that, Rav Zvid says, Shim rotzu lahoitzi bozizim motzi, the result of using that extra expression in the case of the sale of the house, the seller retains for himself the rights, the airspace rights over the courtyard of the purchaser, to extend poles, the hotzi bozizim, over the airspace. Alma, what do we see from this? Kevon de diuta shier, since the seller of the house said that he was going to withhold the roof, which he didn't have to say, it was understood anyway, but he did say it. Mokoim zizinami shier, he is withholding for himself the airspace over the courtyard of the purchaser as well. Hachinami, so too in our case, where the Shchiv Meirah said, I am transferring to you the tree, but I am keeping for myself the fruits. That expression, namely, that I'm keeping for myself the fruits, being an extra expression. Kevon di Omar chutz miperosov, since he said so explicitly, something he didn't have to say, Mokoim peros shir, he is alluding to his withholding of something extra, namely the spot on the branch that produces the fruits as well. And as a result of that, we can classify this as a matnas shchiv meirah sheshir bo karka kolshehu, and therefore if the shchiv meirah gets better, the deal stands. We turn back to the Gemara text. We'll be picking up the Gemara 5 lines from the bottom here on Kuf Mem Ches Amud Aleph, at the point at which the bracketed section closes. And be reassured, we covered what we're supposed to cover by learning this section in the Bach. The Gemara continues. Omar Le Rabbi Abba Rav Ashi. Anan Ad Rabbi Shimon ben Lokish Masninon law. We learn the Ibayalaho, namely that which was featured in the diamond above, namely a question that was presented concerning the general topic of Yitur Lashon. We learn it with regard to Reb Shimon ben Lokish's din, and in the context of a Matnas Bori, and not a matnas shchiv meira. And using the example of a house and its roof, and not the example of a tree and its fruits. This explanation is provided for in the Rashbam that you can look at on your own. In the lower part of the page, there's a section in the Rashbam with a double asterisk that's encircled. The pshat we gave is based on that. Let us continue with the Gemara. We should note, of course, the use of the skugel underline in this piece of Gemara. We've noted the words Anan Ad Reb Shimon Ben Lokish Masnin Allah. This represents the alternative loshonot, alternative version, and we skugel underline those expressions that indicate alternative versions in many different contexts as well. The Omer Rabbi Shimon ben Lokish, Hamocher Bayis L'Chavero, someone who was selling a house to his friend, the Omalo, and the seller says, Almanas Shidyuto Helyono Sheli, I'm selling you the house on condition that the roof remains mine. It's explained in the Rashbam that the Dyuta referred to here is a fenced-in roof with a maike of 10 tfochim around it, a fence of 10 tfochim around it. The ruling is Dyuto Helyona Shelo. The seller maintains the roof. That's what Reish Lakish teaches. However, we're going to elaborate on that as we go on in the Gemara. Ibaya laho, bias li echod, udyuta li echod. In the case of a matnas bori, if a person gives the house to one party and the roof to another party, mahu, mi have shiur olo. Is there a retention on the part of the Baal Hadyuta, in other words, the one who receives the roof, does he retain rights to extend zizin, protrusions, poles over the airspace of the courtyard of the other purchaser, the other receiver? And if it's a case of a matona, the other receiver as opposed to purchase, which is characteristic in the case of a sale. This is explained in the Rashbam at the top line, Ibaya loho bayas li'echod, bimatnas bori, udyuta li'echod, mi have shiur. Is there a withholding? Mi ikwa lahai bal dyuta shiur moko b'chotzer. Does the one who receives the roof retain rights concerning the airspace of the courtyard, lahotsoas zizin oiloi? Im timtzilo malo have shiur, if you say, and this will be the subject of the Gemara as we go on, if you say that does not constitute a withholding, le'achrini, that's because we're dealing with someone else. In other words, there's someone, a previous owner, who's giving away everything to others. Avol le'atzmo have shiur. It could be, though, that with regard to himself, where he is withholding something for himself, there is a shiur. If you notice the Rashbam, we've included a bracketed section. That means you can skip toward the end of the line where the alternative is presented. Oy dilma, leko shiur. Maybe there is, in that case as well, no shiur. By the way, what's the case that's being discussed? So that's in the brackets. Let's read the bracketed section. Kagon di omale. For example, someone says, Bayis ani mocher loch, chutz midyoto helyona. There's an original owner who says, I am selling you the house with the exception of the roof. And he uses what we'll see as an extra expression. He delineated chutz midyoto helyona, which he didn't have to say. It would have been understood anyway. Does that extra expression constitute shiur or not? So we continue in the Gemara after raising the issue of bias le'echod and the duto le'echod, is there a shiur, is there a withholding on the part of the receiver of the roof for extension of poles or not? Im tim silomer, the Gemara in the second line continues, and if you say bias le'echod v'duto le'echod lo have shiur, that there is no withholding, because as we saw in the Rashbam, he's giving away everything. What about a different case, chutz midyuto mahu, where it involves himself? The withholding issue concerns the giver himself, where he says, I'm giving you the house, I'm selling you the house, chutz midyuto. What is the din with regard to the seller? Does he retain for himself airspace rights over the chotzer of the purchaser? Omar Ravam Rav Nachman, im tim salomar bayis li'echod udyuto li'echod lo have shiur. If you take the position that where everything is being given away, there are two receivers. There's one receiving the house and a second party receiving the roof. In that case, there is no withholding. In other words, the one who receives the roof will not have airspace rights. Chutz midyuto have shiur. The other case, the case where the seller is selling the house and withholding for himself the roof, and he adds the expression chutz midiyuta, that would constitute a shiur, the aliba de Rav Zvid, and as according to the teaching of Rav Zvid, the Omar shimrotz lahoitzi bozizin motzi, the outcome of this extra expression would be, says Rav Zvid, that if the owner of the roof wants to extend poles over the airspace of the courtyard, he'd be able to. Alma, kevon de shiur de yuta, we see from here that since he, through the use of the extra expression, he says he's withholding the roof, mokom zizin nami shiur, by explicitly stating that he's withholding the roof, which he didn't have to say, he's really intending to include withholding the airspace rights over the courtyard as well. At this point, you see a slash appearing in the Gemara, which indicates that that which follows is a totally new idea. As you scan the page at this point, you'll notice numerous geometric forms that appear. We will try to explain them as we encounter them. Let us take advantage of the markings, of the explanation of the markings on the outside margin. We have here a heading, Nosei Mivne. That means a topic heading and a structural note combined in one. There's a house form that you see. They are Dinim Shel Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman's name is encompassed by this house geometric form. They represent Halachas, rules, laws of Rav Nachman, Be'inyan Matnas Shchiv Meira, regarding gifts given, granted by a deathly ill individual. As you look in the Gemara, you'll notice the double underline appearing under the expression Shchiv Meira Shekosav Kol Nechosav L'Acherim, and the same thing is noted later. That's the function of a series marking, which the double underline is one of them. Let us continue now in the Gemara. Amar Rav Yosef Bar Minyumi, Amar Rav Nachman. Technical point, we've not underlined Bar Minyumi. If you know how to take full advantage of the marking system, this type of marking often, but not always, suggests try to find another dot underline. And lo and behold, if you scan a couple lines down, you'll notice Bar Minyumi again is featured. What we've tried to accomplish here is that in the next presentation of Rav Nachman, instead of what we see here, Rav Yosef Bar Minyumi quoting Rav Nachman, later we'll see Rav Acho Bar Minyumi Omer Rav Nachman. These types of markings are not essential for understanding the content of the Gemara, but at times they help to bring out some fine points in even how the Gemara presents names and sensitivity to different shitas that appear. These, of course, do have bearing in many other areas if we raise contradictions within particular shitas, it's important to know who is saying what. Let's continue in the Gemara now. Omar Rav Yosef Bar Minuri, Omar Rav Nachman. Shchiv Meira Shekosav Kol Nechosav Lachirim. A Shchiv Meira who is assigning all of his property to others. And once again, it won't hurt to repeat the rule that we've already heard several times. In the case of a Shchiv Meira, it's very important to note, is he giving away everything or not? When you say he gives away everything, we know that if he gets better, the gifts are reversed. However, if you have a situation where he's not giving away everything, there is some element of withholding, then if he gets better, the gift stands. So we have a case of a Shchiv Meira assigning his property to others. Ro'in, we evaluate. Im b'mechalek, if he's doing it in a mechalek fashion. That's explained by the Rashbam found in the upper part of the page, the beginning of the narrow lines. Im b'mechalek she misha rishona shehischo lechalek. If at the very beginning, as soon as he starts to give out, hoya b'daitu lechalek kol nechosav, it was clear to us that his intention is to divide out, to give out all of his property, velo l'shayer klum, and not to withhold anything. So let's continue in the Gemara. If we're dealing with a mechalek method of distribution, Aleph, we've noted here two cases. There's Aleph, mace, and shortly afterwards, omad, if he gets better. So according to scenario one, mace, in the event that this Shchiv Meira dies, konu kulon, then all of the people denoted in his gift will receive, as per the regular, the standard din of a matna Shchiv Meira. Beis, second scenario, omad, if the Shchiv Meira gets better, chozer b'kulon, then all of the receivers will not receive, the Shchiv Meira gets it all back. However, there's another possibility as far as the original distribution is concerned. Im benimlach, if he's distributing it in a nimlach fashion. What is that? So once again, let's glance at the Rashbam. Im benimlach, the Rashbam says, Shelo hoya b'daito l'chalei kol nechosov. We can see from the way he is distributing his property, he did not have the intention of giving away everything. Ela, achar shechilek, after he started giving away his property, shasak, he was silent, velo rotzo l'chalek oid, and he didn't seem interested in giving away further. Chozar v'nimlach bi'atzmo, he then re-decided on his own, l'chalek kol hanosar. After some hesitation, he then decided to, in fact, give away the rest. So our Gemara continues. Once again, we've presented an Aleph and Beis, the two scenarios. If you have a Shchiv Meira giving away in this nimlach fashion, this hesitating fashion, nimlach literally means consult, where the Rashbam said he consulted with himself to reconsider his distribution. So in that event, mace, if he dies, konu kulon, they will all receive their gifts. Beis, omad, if he gets better, einoi choizer elo ba'achron. The other gifts, all of the previous gifts, the first gifts, do not get reversed, because each one of those was a gift where there was still retention. Until you get to the last guy, the last receiver. The last receiver is receiving something where there is no further retention. As a result of that, if he gets better, his, the last receiver, will lose the gift. We'll have to give it back. The Gemara asks a question. Nechush, Dilma, Iyuni, Koma'ayin, Vehodar, Yohiv. Starting from the end, so to speak, the question is going to be, why do the earlier people receive? Why not say that his hesitations were not a fact of his being in a state of doubt along the way, but rather he was pondering, he was thinking clearly and deliberately and slowly, but with a complete decision at the very beginning, and he was simply issuing his orders in an analytical, slow fashion, but really his intent, even in what we call the nimlach approach, the hesitating approach, really was with intention to give away everything. And if that be the case, when he gets better, everyone loses the gift. So why was it said that the earlier ones do receive? Because we just said at the beginning of this line that Omar Eino Chozer El Bachron, that only the last one is reversed. Really, they should all be reversed. The Gemara answers that since we're dealing with a Shchiv Merah, if he had an original intention to give everything away, he would have done so fluently. He would not have done so with pauses. Stamei de Shchiv Merah, your standard, your basic Shchiv Merah, Meidak Dayek, he thought out everything very clearly at the beginning, V'hodar Yoiv, and then gives it over fluently. Therefore, if we see a Shchiv Merah giving away his property in a halting fashion, it indicates to us that he never really came to an initial decision to give away everything. Hence, the first receivers were really receiving partial matonas, and each step of the way, as he continued, he was reconsidering himself and giving away a little more, and a little more, and a little more. Until the very end, the last receiver, in fact, was a receiver without any withholding. But all the previous ones were receivers with withholding, and as a result of that, even if he gets better, their matona sticks. Omar Rav Acho Bar Minyumi Omar Rav Nachman Shchiv Merah Shekosav Kol Nechosav Le'achirim, a Shchiv Merah who assigned all of his known property to others, the Omad, and gets better. Now going to see something a little surprising. Eino Chozer. There is no return of the Matonis, namely the Matonis stick. Now, you might be wondering, why is that? We just read a line that said he gave away everything, and according to the rules we have learned up till now, a Shchiv Merah who gives away everything and gets better, it is chozer, it is reversed. Why does it say here, not reversed? The Gemara answers, Chayshinon Shemo Yeshlo Nechosim B'Medina Acheres. We raise the suspicion or the possibility in our minds that he has other properties, so that even though he was giving away all of the properties known to us, known to the community, that does not mean it's a matna shchimera without withholding. Maybe there is, because he may have properties in another land. The Gemara asks, Vela Masnisin de Kotoni, our Mishnah that said, Lo Shir Karka Kolshu Ein Matonoso Kayemes, that if he gives away everything and withholds nothing, he doesn't withhold any karka, the matona is binding. This was, of course, the Mishnah that we had learned on Kuf Mem Vov Amud Beis. Hechi Mishkachas Law, where do you have a fulfillment of that particular rule? Namely, if you're always suspecting he has karka in a Medina Acheres, so how can the Mishnah refer to a case of low shear karka kolshu and the matona will be binding? Omar Rav Chamo. Rav Chamo is the first of two explanations to explain the case of the Mishnah where we said that if he doesn't withhold any property, so the Mishnah said, Ein matanoso kayemes, that the gift is reversed. How can you have a case of lo shir karka kolshu when we're always suspecting he's got something else? So the Gemara answers, Rav Chamo says, Bi oimer kol nechosai. The Rashbam explains a few lines down from here, Be'omer kol nechosai, lo chileik sadoisov ukromov l'chol echod b'fnei atzmo. The case would be where he is not giving out each field and vineyard individually. Elo loshon ze kosav. However, or rather, where he used the following expression, kol nechosai ani noisei leploni uploni. If he uses such an expression, I am giving away all of my property to so and so and so and so. The kol hecho de isnu nesunim hein, but not matnas shemira, that wherever they may be, I am giving them through this matnas shemira, the enkan shiur. If that's the text that he uses, then that's the case that the Mishnah was referring to, that he does not, if in the event he doesn't withhold anything, and he gets better, so the matana will be reversed. Answer number two, Mor Barav Ashi Omar, B'muchsuk lon delesle. In a case of a shchimera, that we are confident, we know that he has no other properties, then we can say that the shchimera gave away everything. Namely, he gave away everything, and we know that that's all he held. That would be a case that if he gets better, the matana would be reversed. That's as opposed to the scenario that Rav Nachman was referring to, where we heard that the shchimera gave away all the property known to us, but we weren't muchsikon, we weren't sure that he didn't have other property. But in a case where we're sure he did not have other property, and we heard him give away everything that he has, then if he gets better, the matana will be reversed. We encounter a new geometric form, a triangle. Let us glance at the outside margin. You notice a triangle featured. Ibaya laho, she'elois be'inyin matnas shchimera. These will be questions in the context of matnas shchimera. So you see a triangle over here. There will be, at the end of this particular omid, another triangle, and these continue to the next omid as well. So we see a series of questions concerning the topic of matnas shchimera. We've also provided a topic heading before we continue into the Gemara itself, a description of the topic, and after that we'll also notice a geometric form presented that will be featured under the Mivneh heading after this topic heading. So let's read what we've included in the outside margin, the Nosei. She'ela, a question. Ha'im b'matnas shchivera chazora b'miktas have chazora b'kula oiloi. What is the rule regarding a matnas shchimera, a gift given by a deathly ill individual, where he gives to one party his property, all of his property, and then he retracts partially and gives the balance to someone else? Let us continue in our note, and we'll see this. Kegon shenosan kol nechosav leploni. For example, he gave all of his property to a particular party, and the giver, the shchimera, retracted partially, and he gave that partial amount that he retracted from to a second person. Do we say that when, after saying, I'm giving everything to Mr. 1, and he says, no, I'm giving partial property to Mr. 2, does that constitute a complete withdrawal from what he gave to Mr. 1? The ein l'rishon klum, and as a result of that, the first one would receive nothing, or possibly, when the shchimera retracts, rak me'oisoi miksa shenosan l'sheni chozar. Or do we say that he is withdrawing from Mr. 1 only that part that he's now giving to Mr. 2. But from the part that he is not giving Mr. 2, he's not backing out. Nishar Eitzel Harishon. And therefore we say that the part that he did not withdraw from, that remains in the holding of Mr. 1. If you take the second approach, then at the end of the day, In effect, this shchemer has given away everything. If you take the first approach, then we say he's withholding. Namely, after having given everything to Mr. 1, he retracts. No, he says, I'm not giving everything to Mr. 1. I'm giving part to Mr. 2. But to Mr. 1, I am giving nothing. What do we see? We see that the shchemer is really withholding the part that he's not giving to Mr. 2. Namely, Mr. 2 gets part, and the other part, if you take the first approach, the other part remains in the possession of the Shchemira, and that would be called a Matna Shchemira b'miktsas, with all of the ramifications. Let us continue in the Gemara, analyzing this issue. The Gemara opens up with the question, Ibai Aloho, Chazora b'miktsas, Havi Chazora b'kula oiloi. Do we say that partial withdrawal, namely after he gave all his property to Mr. 1, he backed out partially and gave a part of his property to Mr. 2? Does that constitute a chazor b'miktsas? Or is it a chazor b'kula? If you say it's a chazor b'kula, it means he's withdrawing completely from what he gave to Mr. 1. If you say no, then he's only withdrawing partially from what he gave to Mr. 1. And at the end of the day, as we said before, Mr. 1 does retain part, and the balance goes to Mr. 2. So in effect, we have a matna shchivera, she'ein bo shiur, a matna shchivera, where the shchivera himself is not withholding anything. As we continue looking in the Gemara, we notice a new geometric form, a volcano form. The narrow part appears on top. This point, if you look at the next line, you notice how it flips over with the narrow part facing downwards. The Gemara, as you would continue on after that, you'll notice again the volcano form flipping around again. Let us take a look at the note we have on the inside margin. This is a ma'akav, a method of keeping track. Chazora b'miktsas, havi chazora legamri. With the narrow part facing upwards, we will be attempting to indicate that the partial withdrawal from what he gave to Mr. 1 is in effect an indication that he's completely withdrawing from whatever he gave to Mr. 1. When you see the form with the flipping over and the narrow section, narrow part facing downwards, there, lo havi chazora, namely, that which he gave to Mr. 1, though he is withdrawing from the idea of a complete matana to 1, partial amount does remain in his possession. Let us read this in the Gemara. Toshma, kulon l'rishon, a shchimera gave everything to Mr. 1, Umiktsason l'sheni, and he withdraws in part and says, I want Mr. 2 to get part of the property. Sheni kona, rishoin loy kona. The ruling of this source is that the second party keeps what he got, the first party does not keep what he got. He doesn't receive anything. My lav b'shemes. Are we not talking about a case where the shchiv meira in fact died? And it says in this source, you have a shchiv meira that died, and the first one is loy kona. Why is it that the first one is loy kona? It must be because the chazora that was done, the retraction that the shchiv meira did when he said, I'm giving part to Mr. 2, was in effect a complete withdrawal from Mr. 1. And as a result of that, a complete withdrawal from Mr. 1, we can understand why it says here, Rishon lo kona, because the shchiv meira withdrew from everything he gave to him. The Gemara rejects this. Lo, I will tell you that a partial withdrawal is not a complete withdrawal. B'sha'omad, we're talking about a case that the shchid merah actually got better. Oh, if the shchid merah got better, the sheni is kone because it's a matono b'miktsas. The sheni didn't get everything he got only partial. And as a result of getting partial, we know that a shchid merah who gets better, partial matonas given by someone who at the time was very sick, they remain. They're still binding. It is true that if one analyzes this particular section of Gemara, one will come up with some additional questions. The Rashbam himself is sensitive to this and points out that these issues will be raised later. The Gemara continues, Hochi Nami Mistabra. It's most likely that this section of the source that we quoted is dealing with a case of the shchid merah getting better. Why? Midekotoni seifa. From the example presented in the seifa, miktsasan l'rishon v'kulon l'sheni. A shchid merah gave part of his property to Mr. 1 and gave the balance, everything, to Mr. 2. Rishon kono, sheni loy kono. The ruling here is that the first one receives and the second one does not. E amrs bishlamo bishomad, if you set up the source as talking about a case that the shchid merah got better, mishum hochi sheni lo kona. I can understand why the sheni does not acquire. And the reason for that is because the sheni was a matona without a shiur. At the point the sheni received what he did, nothing was left. And we know the rule that a shchid merah who gives a matana without any withholding, if he gets better, the gift is reversed. Hence, the source says sheni lo kona. Elo e amris b'shemes. If you're going to say that the source is talking about a case that the shchid merah died, and that chazora b'miktsas is not chazora, namely the partial withdrawal, that partial withdrawal does not constitute withdrawal, then when you look at this case, miksasan l'rishon, the first guy got part, the second guy got the balance, and there is no element here of withdrawal. Travayu liknu, let both of them acquire. So as a result of seeing in this source that the second fellow does not acquire, we can assume then we're talking about a case where the shchid merah got better. And hence, the sheni is lo kona because what he received was a gift where there was no further shiur. Omar le Rav Yemar le Rav Ashi. V'tehve nami b'she'omad. He says, let it be, in effect, a case, like we said before, that he got better. The Gemara is going to proceed now to evaluate the issue of chazorah b'miktsas. Is it chazorah or not? Up till this point, we were trying to maintain that chazorah b'miktsas that chazorah b'miktsas was lo havei chazorah. That, by the way, was what we saw in the last inverted volcano marking. As you can see here, the volcano marking flips with the narrow section pointing upwards once again. This will show us that we're trying to take the original approach when the first Toshma appeared, which is an approach saying that Chazora b'miktsas is Chazora b'kula. So let's continue in the Gemara. Rav Yemar says, "E amrs bishlamo Chazora b'miktsas havia Chazora b'kula," that when there's partial withdrawal from that which was given to Mr. 1 in favor of giving partial to Mr. Two, that constitutes chazor bekula, that constitutes a complete withdrawal from whatever was given to Mr. One. Hainu desheni mihas kona. With that, I can understand that the sheni that we saw above in the resha, that the sheni was kone. We saw that at the resha citation, approximately five lines above from here. And why is it that the sheni is kone? Because when the Shemer withdrew from Mr. One, he withdrew from everything that he gave to Mr. One. What did he give to Mr. Two? Only partial. So a Shemera, Matna Shemer b'miktsas, there is kinyan. Elo I amris chazora b'miktsas lo havio chazora b'kula. If, however, you say that when there's partial withdrawal from Mr. One, it doesn't constitute complete withdrawal. Namely, that which he withdrew from is a withdrawal, but that which he didn't remains by Mr. One, and the balance goes to Mr. Two. Neve kemechalek. Then let us consider the gift of the Shemara like the mechalek method that we saw above. We saw this on the fourth wide line, and we said that it's a matana bekula. Ulechad minayu lo likni. And to neither one, not the first one nor the second one, should there be any kinyan. Once again, if you say that matona, that the chazora b'miktsas is not chazora b'kula, so that which Mr. One received, he'll get part, namely from the part that the Shemera did not withdraw from, remains by Mr. One, and Mr. Two gets his part, nothing left in the reshus of the Shemera, and we set this case up as a case of Omad, he got better. If he gets better, having given away everything prior to this, neither one of the receivers should be able to withhold. Therefore, as far as Rav Yemar is concerned, it's more likely that if you're going to set up the Mishnah as a case of Omad, where he got better, it will be more easily understood if you say that Chazora b'miktsas is Chazora b'kula. And by saying that, I can understand why in the Reisha it said that the Sheni is Koine. The Gemara now rules, V'hilchaso Chazora b'miktsas, Havya Chazora Bekula. That partial withdrawal from that which was given to Mr. One is considered a complete back out from whatever he gave to Mr. One. And as far as the ruling in the Reisha is concerned, Reisha, which said Sheni Kaina Rishon Lo Kona, that will apply Mishkachas Lo, that will apply Bein Shemes, whether the Shemera died. If the Shemera died, I understand very well why the Sheni is Kona, and why the Rishon is not Kona, because the Shemera backed out completely from what he wanted to give the Rishon. Bein Sheomad. Or whether he got better. If the Shemera got better, I also understand why the Sheni is Kona, and that's because it was a Matna Shemera B'miktsas. The Sheni only received part. The Rishon is not Kone, very simply because the Shemera backed out. And as we said, Chazor B'miktsas is Chazor B'kula. The Seifa, which ruled that the Rishon is Kone, the Sheni is not Kone, Loi Mishkachas Lo Elo Kisha Omad. That we will be able to understand only if the Shchiv Meira got better. And why is that? We said there that the Rishon was Kone, and the Sheni was not Kone, because the Sheni received, in effect, everything. And at that point, it would have been a Matnas Shchiv Meira without a Shiur. Let us take a look at the Rashbam. Lower part of the page, Seifa lo mishkachas lo elo b'shomad. And we should have also mentioned that the case of the Seifa was where he gave miktsasan l'rishon. The Rishon initially received only part. Hilkoch, the Rashbam says, Rishon kono, de matono miktsashu, he received only a part, the iko shiur, and there was a balance that was at that point withheld by the Shlimira. Sheni lo kono, the second one doesn't get, the lo have b'matanoso shiur, with regard to his portion, there was nothing withheld. The I b'shemes, if the Seifa was a case where the Shlimira died, then the ruling would have been different. Travayu liknu, both would have acquired. The Gemara continues with another question concerning Matnos Shlimira. This we indicate with another triangle marking. We've added, by the way, to the ensuing Gemara some more geometric forms. These are double underlines with dots in them. What we can do is we can take a look at the outside margin. We have a nosei mivneh. The double underline represents gimel she'elois, three questions, v'inyan shchivmera, v'chol nechosa v'shchivmera, and his giving away all of his property. The first will involve hikdish, where his giving away is through his sanctifying all of his property. The second case is hifkir, where he declares it unowned. And the third case is chilek kol nechosav le'aniyim, where he divides out all of his property to the poor. Ma hadin im yavri mecholyoi. What will the din be in these cases if he gets better? Haim yikabel nechosav bechazor. Will he get his property in return? So let us continue in the Gemara. Ibayalo, hikdish kol nechosav v'omad mahu. The Shemira dedicated to the temple fund all of his property and got better. What is the din? Notice we have an aleph, and then later on the next line, beginning of the line, odilma, the second word on the line, squiggle on the line, odilma, indicating a second possibility. Do we say, mi aminan kol legabi hekdish, when you're dealing with dedications made to the temple, gomar umakni, he is in effect fully cognizant and concludes in his mind that I want to give under all circumstances. Namely, even if he gets better, I want my hekdish to stick, and therefore there's no backing out. Oy dilma, or possibly, kol legabi nafshei, when the one who stands to lose is himself, in this case the Shchiv Meirah himself, if this dedication stands, he'll be left with no property. Lo gomar umakni. He doesn't conclude to give away everything without qualification, and hence, if he gets better, he'll get it back, even though we were dealing with a dedication to the temple fund. The Rashbam uses an expression that we've dashed, underlined, a few lines from the bottom. Mi chomir mi matonos hedyot. Is the matona given to hekdish of a stricter, of a more binding nature than that given to a common friend? We raise the question, and we continue in the Gemara. Hifkir kol nechosav mahu. Let's say a person declared unowned all of his property. This question is coming off of the question just before the Rashbam explains, namely, that even if you say in the case of Hegdish, everything remains sanctified even if he got better, what would the din be if a Shemar declared unowned all of his property and then got better? Continuing in the Gemara, Mahu, Mi Amrinon, notice again we have Aleph, O Dilma, Beis. Do we say, Kevon de Aflanim, Ka'ashirim, since when one declares his property hefker, the poor have access to it, just like the wealthy. Gomar umakni, he has full conviction to his declaration of hefker, and therefore, even if he gets better, he won't get his property back, because now the poor will have access to it. Or, as we said before, when it's a question of himself, that which regards himself, he would end up losing. A person does not commit himself, and therefore if he gets better, he'll get it back. Another question, namely, even if you say that by Hefker, he is not choshesh, he's not concerned with himself, since he was mafkirit, chilek kol nechosov laniyim. Before we go on in the Gemara, let us take a look at the Rashbam himself. Under the Dibur Maskil, Hifkir kol nechosov mahu, mi lemo kavonosu l'shamayim. Do we say that his kavona is heavenly? The Akni Lagamri, and he has full conviction to dedicate to all the Chomi Sheyovoi Vyizke Olo. Then he gives another approach, Inami, a second approach, Kivan Hifkir Mamono, Hotsiomidaito Lagamri. Since he declared it unknown, he's completely withdrawing from any association with his property. V'eino Chofetz Bechazaroso, and he has no interest in getting it back. She'eino Roitze Lehonos Odmimeno. He has no interest in having any further benefit. Therefore, even if he gets better, he's not going to get it back. The imtim salomar gabi hefker di eno choshesh bozeh hamamon hovi hefkirov lo diktek lechalko leoyavov. And the Gemara is a lead on to the next question. Says that even if you say in the case of hefker, where he doesn't seem to be concerned with his property at all, and by virtue of the fact he declared it unknown, he declared it hefker, and he wasn't considered, he wasn't being precise in his division to divvy it out to his friends. So it might be very well in the case of Hefker, he's really withdrawing himself completely from the property. The next question is, Chilek kol nechosov laniyim, my. Let's say he divides all his property, but he's careful to denote that he's doing it to aniyim, to the poor, my. Mi amrinon, do we say, tzdoka, Vabai migmar gomaru makni, since the issue is an issue of charity, he is fully committed to his dedication, and therefore, even if it gets better, he won't get it back. Oidilmo called the gabi nafshelo gomaru makni, or once again, since it's a question of himself losing out at the end of the day, he doesn't fully commit himself to this, and therefore, if he gets better, he would get it back. Teku. This remains unanswered. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.